Hi, this is Amber Petty, and this is the Wise Guides podcast. My guest today is a fellow writer and podcaster. She has a thing for cats and for cat's eye glasses. And like me, her favourite colour is emerald green. And her name also happens to be Amber Petty. And no, this isn't some weird third-person way of me announcing that I'll be talking to myself or about myself today. My guest is the American Amber Petty, and we found each other, as you do, through Google Alerts.
Hello, Amber Petty.
Hello, Amber Petty. Hello.
Oh my God. I find this very, very weird. I don't know about you, but I always thought, you know, I don't think Amber Petty is a common name. Well, we know it's not. For me, growing up with firstly the first name Amber, it wasn't as common, or not that I think it's common now, but there wasn't a lot of Ambers around. And then having the surname Petty, of course, you know, can be one of those kind of, you know, when kids are being assholes and whatever, they can, you know, do a bit of a play. Oh, you're so petty, or what were the other things? I can't even remember. But then put those two names together, you grow up with this sort of relationship with this name and thinking it's very sort of personal to you. And then one day you realize there's this other Amber Petty out there in the world. Do you feel as strange as I do about just our names?
It is funny. So I think it's maybe slightly less strange because I was getting invitations for Australian galas for years. So I've had more time to get used to it.
to realize you're not the only Amber Petty out there.
Yeah. So maybe that's easier, but it is funny of just even coming into Zoom and just it's Amber Petty's waiting room and being like, wait, did I accidentally click on my own or and seeing your book, which I've loved reading, just seeing like Amber Petty gives you the second. We're like, look at what I did. You didn't do anything. Yeah, it's reading a book.
It is almost a little bit kind of like, you know, that feeling of like when you think about a dream that was very sort of close to home, but then you've got to remind yourself, you know, when you're thinking back to it, it was sort of clear like a memory, but then you go, no, but that wasn't actually true. That's not sort of the truth. It's a little bit of that surreal kind of weirdness, I think.
It is a little bit, yeah. We can always look at each other's accomplishments on on low days, I guess.
Well, anyway, I want to talk about all of that because it is funny how, you know, we came to sort of, well, officially connect, but, you know, like you obviously said that, you know, you've got sort of certain invitations or which I guess were meant for me, which is, you know, highlighted me in the world of Amber Petty's. But I had many years ago, and I don't even know what, I'd like to think I wasn't Googling myself about something, but whatever it may have been, I did come across you. And I think there was actually one other girl called Amber Petty also in America, but I knew more of you because to me, it seemed like you were kind of quite heavily involved in theatre. Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is cool. She's like a theatrical Amber Petty. And I thought, oh, well, growing up, I certainly thought that that's where I would head. And I think I largely didn't because I wasn't really in a very nurturing environment to that. It was very much, you know, there was a lot of kind of whole individuals out. But I think for me, because I was also highly sensitive, and I'd love to hear about your kind of traits as well, because I was highly sensitive, I often got labeled as being dramatic, but not in the good way. Oh, you're so sensitive. You're a drama queen. So suddenly, you know, something that you aspired to be and something that I enjoyed, which was organizing plays at primary school and putting on Bugsy Malone and giving myself the starring role as Tallulah.
Well,
what a role and the songs. But then, yeah, it was basically sort of shamed out of me to move away from that. So you were a theater kid and you obviously went through to being an actress.
Yeah. So I wanted to be an actress since I was very little, since I was six, and I did a play in my neighbor's driveway. And so I did, yeah, I did go after that and I was pursuing acting and I did do, yeah, I did an off-Broadway musical and a national tour and I did, you know, did some things, but yeah, then later switched. I think my sensitivity kind of went the opposite direction of I'm also very sensitive. So I would be very careful of like not trying to show that too much. much or be too needy or feel like I had to fix it or hide it. And so then acting in theater felt like, oh, well, it's safe to be emotional. It's safe to get attention. It's safe to be somebody different here. And that was a way to process that instead of just bottling it all up like I did every other minute of the day.
Yeah, right. And the reason why I ask, like, people might be thinking, you know, just because you share a name doesn't instantly mean that you should share all of these other things in life. The reason why I say that is because, well, as you would know, reading my book, This Is Not a Love Song, yeah. I kind of really ended up going down a long, and I'll always be on it, but certainly an intensified, I guess, healing journey and self-exploration. And, you know, one of the things, so I read a lot of books, I listened to a lot of audio books, I saw a lot of therapists. It was really, really interesting. It sort of opened me up to all of these things that I found very interesting, because I guess that there was a lot of information that I'd get back that matched to my sensitivities and made sense to what it was like, just the different aspects of being highly sensitive. And one of the things I sort of explored a little bit, but just very much sort of the basics, was numerology. And I really mean the basics, the number three being big lessons. You know, people say things happen in threes. And for me, just having that basic understanding of numerology, I really go, well, things happen in threes because there will be a lesson by that third one. And whether it's a painful one or it's a revelation and a reward, the final lesson is to go, and if you do this and you treat yourself this way and what have you, look at what you can blossom. But also, apparently, letters have the same energy. They match them to, in numerology, they match them to numbers. So Amber Petty has a whole lot of energy, which means the person that is born or given that name ends up with these certain sort of personality traits. So for me, discovering you and then realizing beyond, well, because how it started, obviously late last year, October or something last year, when I got a Google alert for you, and I thought me, basically sort of flagged the New York Times. And of course, I'm sitting there and I've got my book out. I'm thinking, oh my God, what's the New York Times done with my book? Only to realize it was you.
Oh no.
And your fabulous writing career, which I didn't know about. And I'm like, so this is weird. We seem to share a few kind of things, this Amber Petty on the other side of the world. And then, of course, I discovered your Don't Wait to Write podcast and really fell in love with it. And I thought, this is just uncanny. I got to talk to this girl because it seems sort of like this theory might have some merit.
Well, because there are definite similarities of that. Yeah, I mean, it is funny that I didn't realize that you wanted to be an actor, and especially actor and singer as a kid. And yeah, you have a great radio career, but I've done lots of voiceover and things like that before as well. And then, yes, we both write and both even have certainly like different voices, but a kind of smart assiness a little bit for complete, you know, strangers. It is pretty wild for people that have no like affiliation with each other in a family way or even through friendships. It is pretty funny to have that many things that overlap.
It's pretty unusual, isn't it? So I want to bring up, I did the, you know, and you can do this, and it's certainly, anyone's interested in numerology, I'm absolutely not encouraging just going, numerology, name tester, that can be a little basic. But I did do a little basic kind of job on our name and the numerology and put it through this little basic calculator. And it said our destiny number is 8. It says name number is derived from all of the letters of your full name at birth. So Amber Petty and then blah, 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 blah. Then it says describes our character and inner strength. So 8 is energy and moderation.
Oh.
So that's super basic. And then the soul urge number, that's an interesting one too, because soul and urge, and it's all about your heart desires. So soul energy number is derived from the vowels of your full name at birth. So ours is a 9. So it says it describes our inner ideals and hidden desires, ours being the desire for adventures, ideals, and doing useful things.
Oh.
I mean, pretty sure doing useful things could be interpreted plenty of ways. What we think is useful or what I think is useful may not be very useful to someone else. Anyway, so yeah, so I just found it amazing, sort of really wanted to. Obviously, when I reached out, I had an LA trip on the horizon, and I'm so sorry I couldn't get to meet you, but I got that RSV, which is respiratory something or other virus. And it was like a super virus that was sort of apparently ripping through LA a bit, especially around kids. Mm-hmm. So the little one, Ada, that I was staying with came home with a, you know, a little bit of a sort, you know, like she didn't have major symptoms, but within a couple of days, her mother and I were so sick.
Oh yeah. It was really, I knew a lot of parents, especially that got sick at that time. It was a really bad one.
Mm-hmm. It was, because I've never had COVID. And honestly, I don't believe I ever even did. Have you ever had, did you get COVID?
No, I haven't got it either. Yeah.
Right. I don't think I've even ever had the flu. So that was so intense on my lungs and my throat. But we just sort of kept kicking on. Like, our other friends weren't so worried about being around us. And mind you, I was in the reverse. I would have been avoiding them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, literally avoiding the plague, because I, you know, I think I'm a bit of a lightweight when it comes to getting sick, but I also don't get sick that often. So anyway, yeah. So it just made everything a little bit more of a struggle. So
of course,
next time though. So you live in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. I live in LA. I lived in New York for a long time and I was born up on the West Coast, but yeah, I've been in LA for 7 years, I think.
And do you have brothers and sisters? What's your family situation?
I have two younger sisters and one lives in Washington state, where I'm from. And one lives in Oregon. So it's all along the West Coast of the country.
You got sisters. I got one brother. So tell me, look, I really love your podcast, Don't Wait to Write. There's just short, sharp, fun, helpful. I love your sense of humor. You're very self-depreciating. It's really fun. I think it's, you know, for me, I mean, I guess I've now been a writer for, I'd probably say like since 2007, because that's when I first got my first official writing job, and that was sort of writing for a News Limited paper in South Australia where I was doing radio. And pretty early on in that, I got a phone call from the editor of the local paper, the Adelaide Advertiser, and he said, you know, oh, would you be interested in writing a column for us each week? And I thought, oh my God, like, I mean, the inner soul urge, of course, immediately wanted to say yes. Like, it wasn't a, do I want to? Is this something? It was an instant sort of reminder that I think I'd always aspired to be a writer, and I'd always loved books, and I grew up across the road from a library, and I was always surrounded by books, and I absolutely loved that. And it was really only till I became sort of a bit of a rat bag, and I guess my kind of like childhood and the aspects that I found challenging started to sort of plague me a bit. And so then I used to get in trouble at libraries a lot, I think, because you start to sort of almost fuck with your gifts and the things that you love. But yeah, so I just remember when he called and offered me this thing, I kind of couldn't believe that it was true. And I still remember those early days, or even that first one, of just writing my piece. And in fact, I remember my first piece. It was, they put a headline on it saying, don't ask me about babies. But it was basically, that was the thing too. I was like, well, what do you want me to write about? Like, you know, I'm the girl doing stupid, you know, kind of pretty basic humor stuff on FM radio. What on earth could I, in a serious sort of paper, what, like, you know, how I thought, like, what on earth? Like, you must have the wrong Amber Petty. Maybe they, anyway. And he just said, you know, write whatever you're feeling and whatever your opinion or whatever's going on in your life. And that felt so scary, but such an honor and a gift. And so that very first column I wrote, they put the headline on it saying, don't ask me about babies, because I was sort of 36, nearly 37, and I hadn't had babies, and I didn't have, I was in a relationship, but it was one of the ones that I write about in my book, and it was very abusive psychologically and then physically abusive. And I was sort of hiding that. But the big thing was, I was navigating the pressure of having babies and really realizing that the truth behind my situation was I was in so much darkness in regards to my self-love and my relationships that it wasn't simply whether I wanted to have a baby or not. So when people kept coming at me, asking me at a dinner table or a stranger, have you got kids? Do you want kids? Why don't you have kids? It felt like you're just under such awful attack, and it can be really, really upsetting. And I'd really get so angry with some of these people thinking, how would you just come at me with something so precious as a subject like that and have no idea whether medically I can't, whether I just had a miscarriage, mm-hmm. whether I've been raped and have trauma from all of that stuff.
Yeah. And then what a perfect topic that sounds like to talk about. And because it is something that is being talked about a little bit more nowadays, but even when you said that was 2007 or so, I mean, you didn't get to hear about it very much. We still don't hear about it that much. And yeah, it's someone asking, oh, do you have any kids? And that's it. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. But people don't. They go into it and sometimes want to tell you your whole life choices. And there's so many complicated stories that can be. So I love that you went from, oh, I don't know, I don't have anything important to say, to actually let me hit on this huge topic that means so much to women across the world. And I find that happens a lot with students I have and stuff too, where our first reaction is, oh, I don't know what I have to say. And then when you just go one step past that, there's so many things. So just sharing that story that maybe you thought for a second, maybe it's just me. No, of course it wasn't, but it was so important to share that.
Yeah. And that's what I, you know, like, I'm interested to know your kind of like, and linking it back now to your offering, you know, you teach writing and, you know, you've got this fabulous podcast, Don't Wait to Write. But just going back to that sort of early days of the column, mm-hmm. like I literally would wait the minute I send my copy off to the editor, I would literally wait every hour for the phone call to come to say, I'm sorry, we've made a mistake. Like, you can't write for shit. Like, what the? And I was literally practicing in my head over and over again, me receiving that call and saying, I know, don't worry, totally understand. No, 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 but thank you so much for giving me that go. Like, that bullshit just, so in terms of your own journey, and I really love inspiring people, because I think it's easy to look at someone else doing something that you have some interest in. And just for me, like with radio, I used to always think, oh, you know, that's not for me, that's for other people. Well, that's not for me, that's for her, because she's fabulous and XYZ. Like, how did you start writing? And like, what can you tell me and people listening that can sort of break that myth that you have to be someone called Amber Petty or someone called, you know, Leanne Moriarty? Like, because I think everyone's got a story in them. And I think you don't want to die with that story still in you if you really want to get it out. And even if it's just to share with your family or just to experience it yourself.
Yeah. Well, because I started, yeah, I wanted to be, you know, an actor and everything. That's what I trained for. And that's what I did and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I was focused on. And I did some sketch writing and little play writing and things like that. But that was it. Not a ton of that. And then when I moved to LA, when I was 30, I was like, well, I don't want to have a bartending job or a teaching job or whatever is going to like keep me away from auditions. I want to try something else. I was also getting tired of like jobs that felt like a complete waste of time. So I just started trying to do some freelance writing because I knew some people like that, or see things on BuzzFeed and be like, yeah, I think I could probably write that.
It's I feel a bit uncomfortable sort of doing almost the third person on our ourselves, but I know that, oh, looking at something and going, maybe I can do that, and putting yourself forward, that is maybe a trait that we share. I'm all about going, you know, as shocking as my self-esteem has been at many times in my life, and I'm always still working on it. I mean, I take dips all the time. But to me, reaching out to someone and just saying, hey, I want to be on radio, or hey, I've got an idea for a column or something like that. I don't give a shit about emailing people I don't know that might be very powerful, because silence is what you already had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you already have the no, you already have the worst case.
That's right. You're already not a writer for them. So after that person may or may not see your email and they decide they're not interested or they're too busy or they move on, nothing has actually changed. You haven't actually lost anything.
Yes, exactly. And that's what you have to keep in mind, which is hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I think part of what made it easier is I just like applied to jobs, some that I found on Craigslist, and then knew some friends who would kind of freelance right before. And I would just say, do you know anybody that needs work? And then if I worked with an editor, I'd ask if they needed more work, and then took some classes on pitching and found that. Yeah.
Yeah. You kept sort of going, I'm going to keep chipping away, going to keep the door. I'm going to be okay to sort of start at a lower level, not doing my amazingness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Because if I tried to just do amazing things, which I'd tried before, amazing in quotes, you know, But I tried that before. Like, I've got to write a screenplay. I got to do this. Oh, I have to do this. And I just felt, oh, it has to be so good, or it's got to be better than everybody else, or has to live up to all that. And that just got me nowhere. And so with this, it helped of like, okay, they're just asking for a short list of, you know, the worst video game movies ever made. I can write that. It doesn't have to change the world. And by kind of starting with those things that maybe I even would have deemed frivolous before, it actually gave me confidence to actually write and do it consistently and then reach out. And it was a slowish process, but I found that then I liked doing that more than acting, even if I was just writing for D-list celebrity blogs for $20 an article. I found that getting to actually create something and have it be recognized and seen was so much better than waiting to audition or hoping to get one line in the background, that I switched over. So I didn't have a background in this. I was 30, 31 when I started. I don't have an MFA. I don't have a degree in journalism, and lots of writers don't.
Neither do I. Yeah.
Yeah. The start is hard for anything, but I've found consistently that the pain of feeling like I'm wasting my time or not trying is always so much worse than the pain of even getting a rejection or a mean comment, because that stuff stings for a day. And the other is just wound that keeps getting worse and worse. So I'm like, well, if I can at least bandage that wound, I'm going to feel better even if I get rejections all day. So
yeah, that's so true. I think I've had this conversation with one of my best friends before about that sort of fear of regretting not doing something in life. And like she said to me, my biggest fear is like getting to my deathbed and realizing that there was something that I didn't do or I didn't sort of fix. And I think that's really powerful, because I think part of the human condition is to sort of operate from that ego, which is sort of this inner-built thing that's been there forever and a day in humans. But it is designed to just sort of warn you and protect you. But as humans have developed over time, and certainly the environments that we now live in, that ego can be the filter that too much goes through. So it can be just piling on the list of why you shouldn't do something, especially if you're putting yourself out of your comfort zone, more than it can about exactly what you just said, which is, okay, but let's sift through this. How do I feel if I sit around and I've got this inkling of a dream or a real screaming of a dream? A lot of people have got the inkling or the screaming, certainly having had the experience we've just gone through with pandemic and in Melbourne, where we were the most locked down city in the world. And I'm sure it was a very much a different experience if you had kids and you're homeschooling. But for those of us that were either didn't have kids, or certainly in my case, on my own, alone with my dogs, you have a lot of time to sift through all the things that you want to do, that once you get out the gates and the world starts operating the way hopefully should, but maybe a new and improved version of it that I want to be able to explore. And I think remembering, do you want to sit with being annoyed with yourself because you didn't try something or you didn't put yourself forward, versus the temporary anxiety of either not hearing back from someone or them likely, hopefully, rejecting you? Yeah, I mean, that's the way to kind of go. And reminding yourself, all the big stars in whatever you've done got so many rejections. Celebrate and rejoice in that.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, there was a really big book agent who was talking about she never had a book that went out to auction and every publisher put an offer on it. And then she's had huge bestsellers. There was always at least one person that said, no, I'm not interested. Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because along the way, somebody was, and they got the benefit of that. I think that's the thing too, is I also used to think, I've got to like know exactly what's going to happen. You do this article, which leads to this and this.
How is it going to be received?
Yeah. What? And then that'll lead to this other thing. And that'll, and so none of those things happened ever remotely. And I found, oh, if I just put something out there, then something comes back. Yeah. And when I'm just sitting and worrying, nothing comes back. Mm-hmm. And so even when I had dreams of being an actor that did not happen, and I had some sad times about it, to be honest, but then all that I learned and did still helped me do what I'm doing now and start a business, and who knows where else that will lead. And it only happened because in certain points, yeah, between low self-esteem troughs, I had enough courage to just be like, all right, what the hell? Here it is. Is somebody interested? So sometimes it's that. You don't have to be a super brave, outgoing person. You just just get that like little twinge of bravery.
Yeah.
Use that and it'll help get you through.
And actually, I really like that phrase you just used through my low self-esteem troughs. I really love that. I think there's a lot of power in that because I think my most transformative times when I've really ended up finding the next thing that I've wanted to do, whatever that may be, you know, doing tarot tea parties or writing or whatever it may be, that has come from sort of a bit of a rock bottom, low self-esteem trough. Using that time, even though it's difficult because your energy levels might not be great, especially if you're really kind of going into a bit of a clinical area. But most of us, you can get out of it. It's literally like, but you have to dig yourself out. It's up to you. And you have to remind yourself of the things that make it easier to dig yourself out or that you want to come out. But I think turning that, almost doing a fuck you on the low self-esteem troughs or that shitty time and going, what am I going to do? Fuck it. I'm going to pitch something or other to the editor at Elite Daily or New York Times or whatever. And just, I like to just treat a lot of things in life as Russian roulette without getting shot, without slightly the darkness. But I love the adventure. Like, and I think if you can change your perspective on things where you're not sitting around ready to be wounded and rejected and literally just go, it's an adventure. I've got nothing to lose. That's right. Remember those two Amber Petties that said, one of the richest feeding grounds and the most inspiring places is when you're face down in your own self-pity shit.
Yeah, but every rejection is just like, it's proof you're doing it right in a way of like, you know, you're much closer to a famous author's day if you're getting a rejection. Now you're living their life.
That's exactly right. That's, now you actually have an alignment with someone successful that you admire, whether it's Liam Moriarty or whoever, whoever it is, you know that they've, Candace Bushnell, like whatever.
Yeah.
You know that they've had those rejections. Well, before you actually put yourself out there in some way as a writer or whatever it is, you didn't necessarily have that many correlations. Yeah, you're a woman and you know this and you're that, but a whole lot of other people. The minute you get rejection as a writer trying to pitch, you actually have a correlation with them. You two are two women that are writers because everyone is a writer if you have it in your heart, and you share the rejection experience or the nothing, the silence.
Yeah, or the silent rejection, which is just as normal, more normal, really. It can feel silly to think of it that way. It does work of just like, okay, the rejection means I'm going in the right direction. Something is happening and something outward, meaning like I pitched, I shared it with somebody, I shared it with a friend. Yeah, I sent it to an editor. Anything that kind of like outward movement is like, it's going to take you somewhere. And all the inward just, hey, what are the 10 reasons I hate myself today? Those aren't. So does it mean you just magically think you're great? But just notice, oh, am I in 10 reasons to hate myself today? Okay, well, maybe I can do one reason I don't and at least just come to neutral today. And maybe tomorrow I can start putting stuff out again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My little ticker is coming to a close. But what I just want to just quickly say is, firstly, it's been so wonderful to connect with you. I just feel like I get you and I celebrate you. Oh. And whether that's me also celebrating myself, but even looking at you today in your beautiful green, tealy, emeraldy green jumper and those beautiful groovy 50s antique glasses, there's so much I love about you that might just be because we share a few little things. But I also just love what you're doing and the energy you put into it. And I think if this has inspired anyone, like I'd just really love to direct them to your podcast, which is Don't Wait to Write by Amber Petty. Easy to find on all the podcast channels, and it's really bite size, so you can go in, just, you've never written anything but you just have some stories inside you, do something like that, maybe sign up to one of your courses which you could do online and just get stuck into whatever your passion is this year. And what's your Instagram handle again?
It's Amber N Petty. Amber Nicole is my middle name.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And next time I get to LA, hopefully maybe this year, hopefully I avoid some super virus and maybe we'll go out and have a cocktail or something. It would be lovely to meet you face to face as well.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been just a delight.
Thank you for listening to The Wise Guides today. If you'd like to check out the other Amber Petty and all the fabulous things she's doing in the world, including her podcast Time to Write, you can find all her details in the episode copy. And if you'd like to stay in touch with this Amber Petty that you're listening to now, you can check out where to find me in the show notes as well, including where to buy my book, This Is Not a Love Song. Thank you so much for listening today, and please take care of yourselves.